talking about my red-headed woman. She's all right with me. Talking about my red-headed woman. Yeah, she's all right with me. When she walking down the street, you know my poor heart, my poor heart skip a beat. I want you to tell me, baby, where did you stay last night? Please, yeah, tell me, baby, where did you stay last night? This girl came home drunk 10 o'clock in the morning, three times in a row, and the clothes wouldn't fit her right. Did you know what happened? Looking now, darling, I said, see what you done. I want you to look now, looking now, baby, see what you done. That look I love so much, caught everything in the world to run. Talking about my red-headed woman, she's all right with me. Talking about my red-headed woman, she's all right with me. When she walking down the street, you know my poor heart, yeah, he'll skip a beat.
That's so
good. That's why you should go to work today. He ain't going to work at like 10 o'clock.
You know what?
You don't want to miss any of that. So my old friend John Hogan comes in yesterday, chef extraordinaire, but who did he bring with him?
Dave Herrero. DaveHerrero.com.
He's great.
Yeah, he's great. Great guitar player. Played with a lot of great rock and roll and blues bands. And he's
obviously got the blues.
He plays...
He's got
red-headed blues. He plays Tuesday nights at Roses on the West Side.
Very cool. Hi, kids. We are live at Cork and Carry, just steps from the ballpark, where later today the White Sox will start to break the Cubs' hearts on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday basis. White Sox won last night, Andrew?
They did. 5-4 in 11 innings.
So that ruins the chances that the Cubs could clinch at G rates. Right?
Spoken like a Sox fan.
Well, I heard Powell yesterday, or he put on Twitter, if the Sox would lose four in a row and the Cubs would win four in a row and Milwaukee would lose four in a row,
there was a chance.
Yeah. So I guess it really doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter about the White Sox.
It doesn't matter about
the Brewers.
But you guys have a lifetime Sox fan, lifetime Cubs fan. They both have the same PTSD.
Yeah.
The post-traumatic stress disorder.
Isn't it all about expectations? I don't have a problem with the season, a losing season, but it would be a nice little bop on the head, top of the head, if the Cubs were able to celebrate at the G rate. So let's just thank our lucky stars that's not happening.
For you Cub fans, Brewers and the Cubs are how far apart?
Two and a half games.
Two and a half games. Brewers have who this weekend?
That's a good question. I'm going to look that up for you right now.
They were playing the Reds at one point. I don't know who they have this weekend. Do we care? Nobody cares.
Well, the point being, Sox win 3 of 4.
Right. We could hurt the Cubs.
Sox win 2 of 3. Yeah. Brewers lose 2 of 3. Yeah. You know?
Who are they playing, Pete?
The Brewers are in Pittsburgh.
It's
competitive.
Yeah. Three Rivers.
Yep.
All right, let's jump to the top 6 and 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Before we start the top 6 at 6, you got to come down to Cork and Carry at the park here at 33rd and Princeton just for Steve Cochran's new Sox hat. This is a beauty.
Yeah,
it's a beauty.
It's the old school red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I've got one of those, but it's sweated out at the top. It's like turning yellow where the
Did
white is.
Did you wear
is.
It playing 16 inch?
I do, yeah, every time. Yeah.
Well-worn hat.
Yeah, it's a well-worn.
So that's your gamer?
That's my gamer. Okay. That's my good luck charm. But that's a good hat. That's a good-looking hat.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah. I knitted it and made it my loom. Item number one, Christine Blasey Ford reopened discussions to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee next week. They are targeting, her side, Thursday for time for preparation and things of that nature. No response yet from the Senate Judiciary Committee. However, President Trump has decided to start to now take shots at Blasey Ford overnight on Twitter and last night in one of his campaign rallies. So he helps. He helps a lot, obviously.
I heard yesterday on Roe that he's talking to AB about empathy and how the president will go down to hurricane-stricken areas and say things like, have a good time. Or, right. You know, that boat, you can keep that boat. Like, he just seems to be out of place. But he doesn't lack empathy when he starts talking about his nominees.
Or himself.
Or himself.
Yeah.
In this case, he finds the right words to talk about how what a gentleman and how special the nominee Kavanaugh
is. But here's the thing we all have to admit. We weren't in the room.
Yeah,
there were supposedly three people in the room. We don't know who's telling the truth, which is why the hearing and an investigation or an extension of the background check is so important.
Yeah.
It looks like it will happen. We'll see where it goes from here. We'll talk about it as time allows during the show. Next.
You gotta be bleeping me. Yes.
As we continue live from Cork and Kerry, why don't we jump to sports? Tiger Woods tied for the lead after the round one of the Tour Championship. This is what Tiger's been doing lately. Mm-hmm. He plays really well first 2 days. Has usually a bad Saturday round, at least this season. And then Sunday, he doesn't have enough gas to get it done. I am predicting Tiger Woods will win this weekend in a runaway.
Oh, there you go.
In a runaway.
Oh, okay.
Three shots
here.
Or more.
There you go.
Like you people are going to remember Monday if I'm wrong. Three shots or more. Keep it in mind, people. Go out and bet the kids milk money. Next.
You got to be bleeping me. Yes.
Yesterday, we had our first Illinois governor's debate. And as you can imagine, Governor Rauner and J.B. Pritzker said, hey, let's be friends.
Yeah, no.
Oh, wait, no, they didn't say that.
Very cordial.
They didn't say that at all. Pritzker, here's what I picked up from it. Pritzker is a criminal and a toady to Mike Madigan.
Never worked a day in his life.
And Rauner is an abject failure who's never
liar.
Done anything.
Right.
And a liar.
I've never seen the word liar thrown around so many times.
Liar!
And so many
liars.
Liar, liar, liar.
And you wonder why people are tired of politics. Yeah. Next!
You gotta be bleeping me! Yes!
Prosecutors rest after the expert testifies that Van Dyke wasn't justified in shooting Laquan McDonald. Which expert? An expert on
deadly force.
What's it called? Artillery and deadly force.
Yeah.
And 16 shots were fired in 14.19 seconds. That's where the defense picks it up now.
The media has a lot of interesting questions about whether or not the prosecution proved their case. The defense should start on Monday. And the big question everybody's asking, and it hasn't been resolved yet, is whether or not police officer Jason Van Dyke will take the stand.
Yeah, I learned from Karen Conti that it rarely is wise to put the defendant
right.
on the stand.
Obviously that's a big issue because you're more often than not you're going to get a juror to say from not guilty to guilty if they don't believe his story. But there's also a question, even though the judge says you can't take it into consideration, that if he doesn't, does that also play into the jurors' hands where they go,
that's the
you know
roll
what?
Of the dice.
Yeah, they're like, he didn't even want to get up there and defend himself.
Is there anything about him that's sympathetic?
I don't know. I mean, right
I don't
now,
say anything.
They did that. That's why the judge wanted to put him in contempt, and they decided just a little slap on the wrist because he was trying to create empathy around him with the media before the trial started.
And then there's this.
You gotta be bleeping me. Yes.
The Hawks on his game this morning. Isn't the Hawk on his game?
Yeah.
Tremendous. Starting today, all three major credit reporting bureaus, that's Experian, I should say, TransUnion, and the other one, Equifax, are all going to let you see your credit reports for free, which is great.
Yeah.
Because it'll let you know who stole your ID faster. And what username they're using
it's
on
about
the internet.
Time, right?
Yeah.
It just feels like you get dinged if you look in a world now where everybody is stealing everybody's stuff.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's
this is the ATM
out.
Fee of credit because you get charged a fee to get your own money. In the credit bureau game, you're charged to look at your credit rating.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's goofy. And then there's one for Justin.
You gotta be bleeping me. Yes.
Christmas come early. What do we got?
Amazon says an Alexa microwave for $60 is among many other products that they released yesterday. You'll be able to say, Alexa, cook two potatoes. And it will. Amazon came out with a dizzying array of products yesterday. They apparently missed the memo from Steve Jobs. Do two or three and make them good. They released 297 products yesterday.
Oh, all of them to make Justin angry.
Every single one. I think it's working.
I have no problem with Amazon.
That is your top six and six.
That's all today for the top six and six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. We continue broadcasting live all day now from Cork and Kerry at the park until game time. Place to go before and after the game, sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company. Lou Manfredini, good morning.
You have I'm going to come see you guys a little bit later on this morning. Do they have my parking space ready for me?
Yes, as far as you know, there's plenty of parking.
And how about the Goose Island? Is it already flowing? Because I love the Goose Island.
We have total access to the bar right now before the crowd pours in here.
Perfect. Yeah, not a huge crowd, bar crowd at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Slackers. It's at least 7:15 before they come in here and start drinking. Right.
Maybe I'll have to come earlier.
So, all right, Steve, the limo driver, standing by. He has Lou's First Call. Nice. And, of course, you know the premise here. The premise is Lou's way too popular. We need to make him less popular. And on Saturday mornings, it's tough to get in, so we give you a chance on Friday mornings to be Lou's First Call. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hello. And what do you got, Steve? What's the trouble? What's troubling you?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. Shout out to the Nick DiGiulio show, 2 to 5, and you guys are doing a great job, too. I'm an eyewitness, my friends, to the rollover accident on the tri-state. I went by there about 12 minutes ago. For the record, I'm not in my limo. I'm retired.
You'll always be Steve the limo driver. I mean, come on, please. Yeah.
Well, some say retarded, I say retired.
No. Listen, you're in enough trouble already, so let's try to stay between the white lines. So what's the question at the house? What's going on?
I saw the twisted wreckage of the roach coach, we call it, a catering truck. Must have rolled about 500 to 1,000 feet because there's Twinkies, burritos, pretzels, pops.
All right. Well, let's get a truckload of marijuana users out there as fast as possible, because it sounds like that would be the place to go. All right. Have you got a question for Lou, or is this just a traffic report?
The thing about Lou is a surprise, but let me think 1 second here. I have a double mobile home, Lou. Should be on a concrete pad. It's slowly sinking year by year because it's not. Obviously, I have to jack it up and put some bricks under there. Is that correct?
Well, bricks under. Let's put Steve on hold so he can hear the answer. Bricks under. Is that the answer?
If you're going to remain in that home, I mean, from a resale perspective someday, I mean, I realize that you probably lease the land and own the trailer, but you may want to have someone come in and do the proper foundation underneath there, and you can do it in sections. That will spread out the budget a little bit for you, but ultimately when you go to sell it, it's going to be worth more when you have a solid foundation underneath there. Certainly you can do the brick mode, but I think that, again, resale value comes along, it may come back to bite you.
So bite you is the key phrase there.
Right, that's the phrase that pays.
All right, I understand. And if there's one item you're going to be hitting hard on TV this morning or tomorrow, what will you be telling the listeners and the viewers?
Actually, this morning I'm talking a little bit about this gas leak that happened out in Massachusetts.
Yeah, for people that don't know about this, an entire neighborhood, houses started blowing up. What do we know?
That's crazy.
Well, I did a little bit of research on it, and it really is sort of a fluke item where the gas company that was replacing the pipe, the contractor, had overpressurized the piping. And that caused the pipes to literally burst and ignite from sparks. But it's caused a lot of emails to me and questions about, you know, how do I know my house is safe for gas? There are natural gas and explosive gas detectors that I've actually been using in my home for years. I think most people don't know about it. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the gas line that is connected to your gas range, that if it's over 15 years old, it actually should be replaced.
You know, one of my favorite stories from the Kathy and Judy show, since you brought it up,
sure,
is, and this is an example of the power that Kathy and Judy had on this radio station. You know, they would start their show and they'd talk, and then they'd throw out some phone topic. And I was listening one day, either driving in or driving home, wherever I was, and either Kathy or Judy said, if your house is ever blown up, give us a call. If your house has ever exploded, if your house has ever blown up, give us a story about that in the news.
Yeah.
And they got three people calling their house exploding. Yeah. Because that's the example of the size of their audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I have to contribute to your gas question.
There you go.
That's good.
If you want Steve tomorrow on the show, I think he might be available to give you a better...
Tomorrow, he'll be up. I'll call you.
No, but I could repeat that story.
That's
the point. I could bring that story.
You already did.
Give nuance.
From the 312 and the lightning round, Lou, my concrete driveway is getting a little flaky. Would power washing and sealing with bone dry help stop this, at least slow it down, and where can I buy some?
The bone dry will definitely help slow it down. It'll help to strengthen the areas where it has not flaked off already. The areas that have flaked off, you could patch those with a product called Tintcrete. Bone dry is available at a dealer network around the Chicagoland area. If you go to their website, bonedryproducts.com, you can find dealers on their website.
Wow, bone dry.
All right, buddy. Thank you for that. We'll see you out here.
See you later. Go Sox.
Yeah, that's Lou Manfredini, and he'll be on Channel 9 here.
I would not think that a driveway sealant would be called bone dry.
Bone dry.
Mm-hmm.
We should do it. That should be the text caller of the day.
There's a lot to be answered for when you're
What do you think bone dry does?
And Steve, the limo driver is going to get an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weather Makers. The 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955 HVAC.
We're live at Cork and Kerry. Here's what's coming up. Scotty Posednik coming up. Oh, you can applaud people. That's fine.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Thank you. Chris Getz, Jermaine Dye, Steve Stone, amongst the Kittle is on the show today. And one of the great White Sox of all time, Chuck Garfine, will be on the show later as well.
That's awesome.
Our MVPP is pretty MVPP-ish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm thinking that smells like baseball.
The sun is coming up. I'm ready to go. Let's
yes.
go Sox. Come on.
Live at Cork and Kerry, just hours before the Cubs cry and quit on 720 WGN, where your headlines are next.
It's the Red Line Series, North versus South, and we're live from Cork and Kerry at the park on 720 WGN.
Sponsored by, everybody.
Yeah.
And we're at 33rd of Princeton, sponsored by Virtue Cider, amongst other places. Bill Guidy's here, the boss. And Justin, what do we call this CEO segment?
Yeah, we do the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. And we thought today we would talk to the owner of Cork and Kerry at the park in Cork and Kerry down in Beverly.
He is so happy to be up at
Bill Guidy, who opened the doors for us at ungodly hour. Bill, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for being here. Yeah.
I guess you should say thanks for having us since we're in your
not
area.
At all.
This is the 30th year, 30th anniversary for Cork and Kerry in Beverly. And that's a huge deal because this bar has been a big central part of that community for a long time. How's it feel for you to be a part of something, the Beverly community, but also something 30 years in business?
In Beverly, yeah. We've been there 15 years. The previous owner was there for 15 years. It's almost like they gave us something, and we needed to take good care of it because it was a staple of the community.
It's a neighborhood jewel.
We'd like to think so.
Sure.
We try and, you know, it's a responsibility to carry it on,
When you went into the bar business 15 years ago, were you more about, you know, I want to get ourselves a bar, a new bar, or was the thought, let's get something traditional that people know that we can come in and buy?
In Beverly?
Yeah.
So my family's been in the business since 1979. I got Guidy's Pizza on Archer Avenue, just north of Midway. So I kind of grew up in the business.
You've never been a morning person? Because you've been working nights
about 5 minutes, maybe 5-10 minutes. But yeah, I've been working nights for a long time. But it, you know what? We've got some great people at both locations that take care of me at night. So, you know, it makes it a little easier.
Place like this, which has been open how long now? You guys bought this
This is our 10th season, 10th White Sox season.
Congratulations.
Is it easier
on that. Hold on one sec, Justin. There's a question that follows the statement.
All right, there you go.
After the bar opens here and you're 10 years in, this can be more competitive than ever. One advantage you have, and I always think this side of the city is completely underrated. I love the park. I always have. And I think the neighborhoods around here are great. Everybody goes, oh, there's no place to go. This is a perfect spot.
There are quite a few places now. You know, we've got a place down the street. The White Sox have their place, Shy Sox Bar and Grill. There's places. People, and, you know, people just don't venture out too far.
For you as a business owner and a bar owner who, you know, been in the family business forever, is it easier for you to open a new place and try to bring in attract an audience to a new place? Or is it easier to take something established like Cork and Carry and continue it?
I think both have their challenges. You know, Cork and Carry did have a name on the south side when we got there, so it was a little head start, I think. But starting a new place has its own challenges as well.
I would assume one of those challenges would be, you know, and you hear this all the time when it comes to restaurants and bars, it's not like it used to be. You know, they say that kind of phrase, the idea, especially under new management. That's one, I would assume, one of the challenges with something that people cherish like Cork and Carry in Beverly.
Absolutely. Can you hear me? I'm sorry. It absolutely does. And it, we've my partner, Mike Fitzpatrick, in the bar, is from Beverly, born and raised, still lives there. So that was an important step in carrying on the tradition in Beverly.
But it's a business. It's P&L, and it's all of that. So when you decide you're going to buy this place and it's closed, you got to make it a destination. It's 10 years ago now. So what's the decision point in coming in and reopening it? Because obviously you're doing fine on Western. You didn't have to take on the second challenge.
Well this actually, the story goes back a few years before that. We tried to we approached the White Sox. And we kind of wanted to brand ourselves with the White Sox back in 05. We took over in 03. In 04, 05, we tried to brand ourselves with the White Sox. We did some radio shows with Coop, and we did some stuff. And we had Nancy Faust play the organ there for playoff games. It was a lot of fun. It was great. We tried to align ourselves with the White Sox. And so we actually brought the idea of the Shy Sox bar as a Cork and Carry. And then that process, because of all the parties involved, there's the, you know, the state entity that takes care of it. And so there was a long process, and we actually didn't want to wait that long. And this space opened up, and so that's how we actually wound up here.
Samber.
Do you have any challenges with trying to keep current when you have a name that's been around for so long? Like if you make changes and things like that, people like their old establishments to be how they were, remember them, but you need to stay up with the times.
I think, it's definitely a balancing act for sure with the old clientele and the younger clientele just coming up. Absolutely, especially with a brand that's been around for a while. I mean, you guys see that in everyday business.
Everybody's got a suggestion too, right?
I show them the suggestion box. There's a few of them on the floor here.
This bar that we're in at Cork and Carry at the park, and Sox fans and you know, obviously residents of Bridgeport and the South Side know it. This was Jimbo's. And it always I was walking in talking to Pete this morning, and I was like, I've been in this bar. It looks nothing like it. I mean, the Jimbo's was...
We all did.
Very nostalgic shack. But that idea, too, I mean, do you think about... I mean, being the owner of Cork and Carry, do you think about nostalgia? Do you think about the history that goes into the places that you do business?
I did come in here when it was Jimbo's. And Jimbo will drive by today. You guys will see him drive by. He drives by every day.
Did you keep anything? You know, like when you knock down Comiskey, you keep a piece of the park and the new park, that kind of thing?
I don't think we kept too much in here.
Okay. It was not a great
just stories.
Aesthetic.
You kept stories.
Right. Jimbo took a lot of those with him.
He took it with him.
Yeah.
But do you look for the do you try to honor nostalgia when you're it's business at the end of the day.
Sure. I mean, if you just, you know, look at some of the stuff we put on the walls, there's some old pictures. There's a 1914 picture of this building here. So we try and tie it in all together, keep it current as well.
Is this Al Capone at the park? Is that what I'm looking at here?
That is Al Capone with, I think, Gabby Hartnett. I think that's up at Wrigley.
Yeah, so they're just having a nice conversation about the weather.
There's exactly. And then there's another picture with Al Capone, Babe Ruth, and the mayor of Chicago. Okay.
All, of course there is.
All in one picture.
Yeah.
All
see
in one
no picture. Evil, hear no evil. Exactly. It's great having you here, or it's great having you having us here, sir, to yeah, put it more so. Possibly. And
you can lock up time.
Yeah. You'll be napping somewhere, right? That's the thing about your place. You have nowhere to hide here. Where's your office?
There's a basement.
Ah, there you go.
Yes, that's right.
But thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations on the success.
Appreciate it.
There you go.
Appreciate
Bill Guidy from Cork and Kerry, both here at the park and also Cork and Kerry in Beverly, celebrating their 30th anniversary coming up this year.
Sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company. We continue live from Cork and Kerry. Join us here, not just now, not just with Bill and Wendy, not just with John Williams. I mean all day. All day. There's a rumor Rokan might get up and come by.
Wow.
So that means it must be big. It's the Red Line Series.
Grace us with his
well,
presence,
let's
right?
not count it, I suppose, right? The Red Line Series at Cork and Kerry at the Park continues on 720 WGN.
Live from the South Side in Cork and Kerry at the Park, this is our celebration of the Red Line Series on the home of the White Sox, 720 WGN.
6:55, Hamp next hour, talking about your Bears as well. We've got a great MVPP today, Ron Kittle next hour, and then we bring in a whole bunch more from the Sox side of things. Steve Stone, Jermaine Dye, Scotty Posednik, Chris Getz, all on before 10 o'clock this morning, and I'm sure Bill and Wendy and John Williams will do the same. Here's your text question. Have you got a split household, and what sort of damage is it doing to you? Not just Cubs Sox, Packers Bears. Red Sox, Yankees. I know a lot of you are listening this morning. Who else? Irish.
Steelers, Ravens.
Steelers. Yes, exactly.
It used to be Blackhawks and Red Wings, but not anymore.
Yeah, because of the stupid schedulers.
Exactly.
I think, but there's probably a lot of any other team besides the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks and anyone?
Blackhawks, yeah. Blues.
Blackhawks and anyone.
What's the college rivalry?
Well, you could do
Alabama,
Michigan,
Auburn.
Michigan State.
Michigan State. Yeah.
Michigan, Iowa, or Ohio State, even though it's not a competition anymore, apparently.
Yeah.
So there you go. Split households. That's your text question. 312-981-7200. That's the number.
Don't you think Northwestern Illinois should be a bigger rivalry?
Stanford,
they should
Cal.
Play every year.
Yeah, right.
Every year. Andy, make a call.
Okay. I'm going to call the guy that can do something about it, but he's not here today, so I'll have to wait till Monday.
Yeah, wait till Monday.
What's that, Mayor?
Oh, Mr. I was just Northwestern. Say what was coming up.
What do you have coming up?
The stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
You know, Justin just brought up a good point that we didn't bring up with Bill Guidy. You had a question about what?
I just had a question about the ice, the bucket of ice.
What does the bucket of ice do? Why
bars.
Does every bar have one?
Every time you see a bar open up, a guy's got a bucket of ice. Now, I want to know, is that the ice you're putting in my vodka tonic? Is that the ice that's maybe cooling off the urinals? What's going on with the ice?
It's the stuff keeping your beer cold.
It's probably versatile.
Yeah, it's versatile. There's a lot you can do with it. It just seems like a staple for anyone who opens a bar. There's got to be like a construction bucket of ice.
Well, dial the clock back 100 years.
They pour it in the in that big bin behind the bar.
So you think?
I worked in a bar.
Oh, so what does the big bin do?
That holds the ice, and that's where you put your glass. You take the empty glass and you dig it in
How
there.
How do we know you're telling the truth? You could be part of the bar syndicate that keeps secrets.
I feel like these are the dirty secrets of any bar. I don't know if I want to know them.
Well, and here's the thing. 100 years ago, 1918, the Black Sox wasn't even a bucket of ice. It was a big block. A giant block of ice with a hook on it.
You had to carry up the stairs.
Right.
I don't know if you heard the horn, but people are honking outside. You can park and come in. Well, you can squeeze you in.
They're like, it's either a live radio show or a hotel strike.
Right.
It's one of those two things when they honk outside.
Texters, 815, I'm a Sox fan. My husband and kids are Cubs fans. My brothers constantly remind me I'm a failure in my duties to be a good mother by letting them go to the dark side.
Mm. Yeah.
Rivalries, Indiana versus Purdue.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. How about Southside High School, St. Rita and Mount Carmel?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Did Ed Farmer text that one
in?
Yes. He may have.
St. Rita
High School rivalries, yes.
And this may be the most important one. There's two here. Northern Italian versus Sicilian.
Oh.
Right? That's a big one.
Yeah.
And Crunchy versus Smooth Skippy.
Ooh.
They're both very important.
Jam versus jelly? Do we have a grape jam versus grape jelly?
Where does marmalade fit in?
Yeah.
Itchy, ayah. Steve Cochran Show, celebrating the most valuable person on the planet, live from Cork and Kerry at about 7:20.
It's our Red Line Series rally from Cork and Kerry, 33rd and Princeton on the south side. Here on the flagship home of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
We are broadcasting live from Cork and Kerry at the park at the corner of 33rd and Princeton, sponsored by Virtue Ciders. We continue to scout the men's room here at Cork and Kerry. Andy, you said over the second year. I determined over the first year on old Nelly Fox's contract. Over the second. You know what, Pete? We ought to get a shot of that on Twitter. Can we legally do that? Can we get urinal shots?
I don't think there's anything for
long as nobody's in there, right?
Legally.
Yeah, no one's in there.
All right, so what's over the second urinal?
Urinal number two, a very neatly filled out scorecard from somewhere around probably about 1960, White Sox and the New York Yankees. You see the name Mantle in there. You see the name Scourin in there. You see the
Mickey
name
and Moose.
Yeah, you see the name Richardson in there. But the thing I noticed that jumped out at me was an ad for Channel 9, WGN-TV, Chicago's most colorful television.
Now, this is what year?
I think it was probably about 1960.
Was there color TV in 1960?
Yeah, 60 or 60, maybe a little later.
We didn't have a color TV until, like, I don't know, late 60s.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a play on words like colorful as
There you go.
Wait a minute.
And Steve, what's in urinal number three?
That's the thing. We're keeping that mystery up.
Has their news always been as zany as the morning show is now?
No.
Probably not.
Pre-Jeff Hoover,
I guess. Back in the early 60s, those guys were so zany. You know,
John Drury worked at Channel 9 for a long time.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm sure Drury, God bless him, is spinning, looking at what they do in the morning on Channel 9 now. 708, I'm a Packer fan, married to a Bears fan. And I have a brother-in-law who's a Bear fan whose two sons back the pack. We watch the games together. Always an adventure. And win or lose, we love hearing Hamp and OB, though we do worry about their blood pressure. When are they on this weekend?
I think they're on post-game because it's a 325 kickoff in
Arizona.
Oh, it
is? It's a 325?
Yeah.
When are we going to get a noon game?
It won't be until, I think, the following week.
Well, it's funny because they keep backing it down, right? Starts on Sunday night, then it goes to Monday night.
Yeah.
Now it's 3:20, then you get a nooner.
The 30th is a noon because I'm going.
The end of the season in December, we'll be starting games at 9 a.m.
You're going to the pre-Halloween Bears game?
I am. I'm going to that, yeah.
Why?
We're taking the kids. Our friends that have the tailgate invited us. So
It'll be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It'll be Catherine's first game. So, and I bought her a Ditka sweater.
Oh, good.
So she's very excited about it.
She may end up on TV.
Yeah.
Can you get her a mustache?
I could.
Glasses?
I don't know if she wants to pull the mustache off, but.
Can I have that knit Bears sweater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually got a light version.
Sweater vest.
It might be warm, so I don't
know. You always see the cute little kid, but you never see a
14-year-old girl.
Yeah, like a 14-year-old girl dressed like Ditka.
I've had a couple of friends around that, because the Bears have been national games from around the country, that say, are you coaching the Bears now? Because my look resembles Coach Matt Nagy.
Let's put a visor on me.
I'm bald, but I got the beard. It's very Matt Nagy. So people keep saying they want to separate it at birth.
Do you call unrealistic offensive formations?
I'm really big of setting the quarterback out in motion.
Do you beat you all the time?
Then I'm like and then being completely overcoached in the second half. I'm really good at that.
You have to get a visor
because
he's one of the few people that has a bald head that wears a visor.
Yeah, bald head and a visor is a bad combo. That's one thing that makes me trust him less. 847 rivalries. I'm a Mayo guy. My wife loves the Miracle Whip. Let's see. Rivalries. West Aurora, East Aurora.
Okay.
Rivalries.
You're out that way. Is Naperville and Aurora, is that a town rivalry still?
No, we got some of the District 204 rivalries because there's, I think, four high schools now. So you got Naperville North and South. You got Neuqua. There are five high schools.
There's a lot of high schools. But
you
just town wise.
You got Waubonsie and. And the other one.
Super Joe says Naperville North and Naperville Central.
Oh, I see.
Did I say South?
Yeah.
I was just thinking beyond sports, like Evanston and Skokie don't like each other. So, town rivalries. Yeah. Like Naperville, Aurora.
Deerfield and Highland Park.
Right? I can tell you right now, you know, the summer home is in Naperville.
Uh-huh.
I still live in the double wide in East St. Louis. But if you look from Aurora to Naperville will tell you, we don't like the way you're looking at it.
Sometimes there's rivalry town blaming. I know Catherine, whenever she's kind of gotten in trouble, she blames the Glencoe kids.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's the kids from Glencoe that caused the problem.
I don't understand this one. Detroit versus Chicago-style pizza. There's a Detroit-style?
Yeah,
the Jets pizza. It's a new thing. It's not, the pizza's not new, but the rivalry is somewhat new.
You know what Detroit-style pizza is? Domino's. Yeah.
No. Detroit. They say it's like the deep dish square.
Well,
like there's
wrong.
A place
Tell
in Logan Square,
wrong.
Poly G's, that does it. That's, I mean, it's really good. It's really good. Mm. It's not Chicago, but it's good.
I can't endorse that.
I would say it's better than New York pizza.
So you'd go Chicago, Detroit, New York?
Yeah. But New York is awesome in the sense that you can go anywhere in New York and get a $2 slice of pizza for dinner. That's the best thing that's ever happened
but
in the world ever.
But then you have to fold it.
Yeah,
I'll carry a paint can and walk like Travolta.
It's all good by me.
Grease down your wrist.
Hey, guys.
Grease all over my khakis.
Just, you might be surprised. There's a photo gallery up at WGNradio.com of our broadcast today.
Would these be photos you've taken?
These are photos we've taken and that Pete have taken. And you can go there. I'm going to link it on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter. So
there's a lot of high tech going on here, kids.
Yep.
Have you updated my Friendster page?
Yes.
Okay.
I've also put it there.
779, we raised our oldest son as a Cub fan. He went away to school and fell in with a group of White Sox. fell in with a group of White Sox fans. Now his daughters cry because daddy doesn't root for the Cubs.
See, undercover.
That's right. Rivalries, a little bit of country versus a little bit of rock and roll. You know, my old friend Donnie Osmond, he's always had a rivalry with Marie. Yeah.
All right.
And so it goes. We're looking for rivalries. Does Northwestern have a rival?
Illinois.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
We see them every year, and we really dislike them.
I don't know.
Not
Northwestern's. It's almost like Northwestern students are taught to love everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
it's starting to develop a rivalry with Duke. I mean, they play Duke every year.
There's not a lot of. If you've been to a Northwestern game, it's not like they're nasty. They're very cordial.
Well, they're smarter than you are.
Yeah. You go to a Michigan game, you're like, yeah, these guys are nasty. But you go to a Northwestern game, they're like, oh, well, lovely first down. That was a lovely touchdown. Good play.
And we also have one other texter here. The text question, rivalries, family splits on this Sox-Cubs day and Sox-Cubs weekend. 847. One thing, guys. When are you going to get to a point where you're talking about stall literature? Book recommendations.
Well,
and is there any cool memorabilia in the women's room, Sandberg? Have you been in there yet?
I've not used the restroom yet, but I will be sure to update you guys. Okay.
Reporting live.
Homewood versus Flossmoor and Lincoln Way East. Or Homewood, Flossmoor, and Lincoln Way East.
I was going to say Homewood versus Flossmoor.
Yeah, they had a split.
They just split.
Yeah, the town split.
It's right down the middle of that high school.
Yeah, and 630, Trump versus any conventional wisdom. we got to get to the Trump tweets, too, which we'll do in a little bit, because he's going after. Yeah, got to. He's going after the Kavanaugh woman.
I would rather just read rivalries all day than any Trump tweets, right?
720.
I guess that's a rivalry, Steve versus our president.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Trump Cochran.
Yeah, Trump Cochran, Cochran Trump.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. I got a 1966 Chevrolet.
November 6th, you got the power to influence the course of politics by following the most comprehensive local political news online at chicagotribune.com/midterms.
You got to vote. Making America Vote Again. That's part of our charter here at the Steve Cochran Show. Today's broadcast live from Cork and Kerry at the Park. Place to be before and after the game. Sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company.
Cubs Sox.
Corner of 33rd and Princeton. Also sponsored by Virtue Cider.
Right across the street from the Janet Pacenti Playground.
Is that the old footprint of the of Comiskey?
I think it's the old parking lot. The parking lot that's directly through this park, that's where the old Comiskey was. I think it's lot B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad we cleared that up. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
We've tried to give you deep insight into the men's room here. Let's go live to the ladies' room now, where Sandberg is standing by and equal opportunity scouting. What do you have?
Well, I am in the stall here in the ladies' bathroom at Cork and Kerry at the park. Because, you know, women don't stand, so they tend to...
Wait, whoa, breaking news!
It might be too long of a segment to understand this.
They usually put things on the back of the stall doors, and so I am disappointed to report that the two stalls in here do not have any memorabilia.
Oh, you got nothing?
No, I've got some advertisements for a battle house, get your battle on. It looks like, I don't know, laser gun for girls' night out and birthday parties. Friends and gatherings.
Mm. But other than that, nothing. You got no old-time photography or old-timey photography? You got nothing?
Nothing.
Broken bats in frames? None of that?
Nope. They're advertising Ozarks on Netflix.
Yeah, good show.
And a Michigan Apple Harvest beer. That's it.
All right. Well, listen, if you want to use the men's room, it's more exciting in there, I got to tell you.
All right. Thank you. This is live from the ladies' room at Cork and Kerry on the Park. This is Mary Sandberg Boyle.
Yeah, nice out. The most valuable person on the planet for Friday, September 21st, 2018 is... It's like an arthritic drummer. Jake Ryan, who joins us now on the phone. Jake, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing fine. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just getting off of work, so.
You got quite a story here.
Hey, Steve, before you get to the story, does anyone ever ask you if you're Jake Ryan from 16 Candles?
I hear that a lot, and actually, I get pretty asked quite a bit. My parents name me after that movie, so trust me, I hear that a lot, or... is Jake wearing khakis from the State Farm commercial? So trust me.
There you go. Right. And you're claiming you're neither one.
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, okay. You have quite a story here. Your mom had tremendous medical bills to pay. Pick it up and tell us where it goes from there.
Well, parents were trying for baby number three a couple years ago. Something wasn't going right. Went to the doctor. Found out that she had ovarian cancer. So about a year within her having a cancer, bills start stacking up. Dad was on the income at the time, and he walked in the garage and said, you know, it's time to let her go. It's time to sell her. And it's for the family. It's for mom, and it's for better reasons. So within, you know, I think 2 or 3 days posting the vehicle, Christine was gone, and she was sold. So now my mom's 13 years cancer free.
And just in that vehicle is the beloved family Ford Mustang.
Right.
Yes. I want to say I was 8 to 9 months when my dad first bought the vehicle. My sister wasn't even born yet. I remember my dad bringing my sister home from the hospital in that vehicle. Same as me as bringing my mom home from the hospital and stuff like that. So me and my sister both grew up in that car. It's the only car that we've known all our childhood memories was being in that vehicle. So it brought a lot of childhood memories to see that car back into our lives again.
So it's an amazing story because, you know, it was a huge sacrifice for all of you, but for your dad to be able to sell this car for medical bills. And to be able to go get it again, to bring it back, how did your family react?
Man, it's still something hard, even 2 weeks. Having the vehicle, it's still hard to explain. It's a roller coaster of emotions. It's so unbelievable to see the car back in the driveway. It's more like a jaw-dropping type of emotions. Like it, still can't believe it. Like cloud nine, it's here. You know, I walk outside the door and I look into my garage, and you know, Christine's right back in the driveway where I remember seeing her 15 plus years ago.
Here's the amazing thing. This is why this is a movie. Because in an amazing twist of fate, the car is found, but you can't close the deal. It pops up again, and then it gets done. But the seller eventually is letting it go because her own mom had contracted ovarian cancer, and they needed money.
Right. Yes, sir. That Friday, I bought the vehicle. That upcoming Monday, the following Monday, her mother was starting the first treatment of chemo for her cancer. So that was the main reason why they had to get rid of it.
Wow.
So I remember originally, finally almost 2 years ago, couldn't make a deal with her. It sucked because, you know, the car was right in front of me, and I couldn't bring it home. And me and Norman went to go check it out. And the crazy part is, when we went to go check it out almost 2 years ago, the title was still under my dad's name. The title never changed. Over 13 plus years,
that
title was still under his name, under the same address where I saw that vehicle drive away. So that was a crazy part. That's how I knew it was her. That was my dad's car. So seeing it 2 years ago, not being able to bring it home, man, that was a dagger. But to finally come back to a couple weeks ago and meet up with her again, and hopefully her mother has go through the same luck as my mom did. I'm blessing her with good luck, hoping she goes through her cancer stuff and she's okay. So
who is crying harder, you, your mom, or your dad?
I tell you what, you know, my dad's 6'3", 6'4", pushing almost 300 pounds, and I'll tell you what, that dude balls like a baby.
I get it, man. I'm choking up just hearing you talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, it's crazy to still talk about it. You know, you still kind of get choked up on some feelings. It's still a tearjerker to this day, speaking to people about it, because it's unreal.
Great
stuff
story.
You can't make up, so.
It's a great story. God bless you. And your family, and continued good health there. and the best, as you said, to the family that had to give that car up so you guys could get it back. I tell you, life's funny. And I don't know if you write movies, but you might want to start.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on. We've got some stuff for you. Hold on.
Thanks, Jake.
And that's Jake.
Jake Ryan.
Not the State Farm one.
Not the guy from 16 Candles.
The craziest part of that story is it's the exact scenario where
people
had to sell the car back.
It's
amazing.
You're right. I mean, it would be a great story for Hollywood.
Think of all the things that could have happened to the car.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, God stuff. Broadcasting live from Cork and Kerry at the park at the corner of 33rd and Princeton, sponsored by Virtue Cider. Back with your headlines next.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And Chevy versus Ford is one of the rivalries. Somebody texted in. I got to tell you, I know who won that one. Hubby's an avid Chevy guy, owns them, works on them, dreams about them. I want a Ford Explorer. It's ground for divorce in his eyes. Too bad, I love him. Her to be an easy out, no Explorer for me. Because your husband cares about you, that he's not buying you a Ford. You know me, I'm a Chevy guy. Don't take it personally. You know, Hamp, one of the great things about doing live broadcasts like this is the loyalty of the staff who all came out here early to be here. So I want to thank the staff. Go ahead, you guys. Go ahead and applaud. You know, if you're a staff member or a management type that's not here right now, you're the only one. That's all I'm telling you. ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dan Hampton joins us. Now, what'd you do for your birthday, buddy?
Just kind of laid low. By the way, your staff, are you sure they're not still there from last night?
That's possible. Scouting. It's all about the scouting. You know, Hap, I was looking at the Cardinals' game stats. Their offense is pretty abysmal. Can we take advantage of that?
Well, we're going to have to. Yeah, and, you know, real quick, let's just, you know, I mean, two very poignant points in the pregame last week. I said, you know, if we would have played Chase Daniels in the fourth quarter last week, would we now be in a position to be 2-0? And, you know, everyone basically went, wow, okay. Well, that's what it's all about. And your point is, okay, Arizona's struggling. It's a new coach. They brought in Sam Bradford. He's not the answer. He can't move. David Johnson, the running back, has got less than 50 yards. They've had a grand total of 5 first-half first downs in 2 games. They were shut out last week. On paper, this is a fall-down win. But this is a game where, you know, we can't take any opponent lightly. But more importantly, this is a game that is all about you-know-who. His initials are Mitch Trubisky. And at some point, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to stay up and watch the Cleveland Browns last night, but I know it's like watching a late horror movie or something. But, hey, it was worth it because Baker Mayfield came in and won the game. And you know what? He did it. He did it by making quick decisions and throwing the ball where you got to throw it, something that our quarterback needs to figure out.
Yeah, and here's the thing. He's a kid, but he's also a kid in the same way Mahomes is a kid in Kansas City and all the other young quarterbacks are. So he's got to step up. So is it system and play calling or is it him?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I don't think, Matt Nagy, you did anybody any favors with the preseason and training camp and all this, OTAs. You know and I know. On defense, you do what you got to do. But on offense, there's 3 phases of offense. Number one, you try to do what you want to do. And right now, the offense is trying to find an identity where they can go with the RPOs, the speed screens, and the different personnel sets. Last week, we had receivers in the backfield 5 times for handoffs. You know, that's what they want to do. Now, is that going to work when you're playing somebody like the Minnesota Vikings? Probably not. So it then comes second phase. You do what you have to do. And what we had to do last week was we had to, you know, continue to try to get the running game going, but we had a couple of drives where Trubisky was able to get enough, on the underneath passes to put us in a position where we got a lead. And, you know, thank goodness we had a pick six Otherwise, we're in an overtime situation where we have another chance to blow the game. So, you know, then comes the third one, which is you do what you got to do, which is what we did last week late in the game, able to squeeze out one more touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. But long story short, this is a game where we have to go in with a very cohesive plan and not try to be the smartest people in the room, but be the best offensive coordinator by design and do what we can do comfortably and get it done, because this is, we get a breather. Next week against Tampa Bay, they're probably going to be 3-0 and looking to come in here and, you know, put a knot on us.
Surprising and unusual shouldn't be the regular. It should be the unusual and not the regular way to go, because ordinary wins football games if you do ordinary well, and the talent's there, and it needs to happen. Before we get to the picks, Andy.
Hey, Hamp, I'm just curious your thoughts about Khalil Mack. And would he have the ability to play on your 85 team? Is he that good?
Well, yeah, you know, he's a special player. There's no doubt about it. You know, you would list him as an outside linebacker. Okay, what's he going to do? Take Otis's job? What's he going to do? Take Wilbur Marshall's?
Oh, what did they ever do?
They didn't do anything, right?
They didn't do nothing, I know. But, guys, I'm just saying, you know, it's just like Urlacher. I mean, every once in a while you get a special player. Would they play with? I don't know. You know, Mongo used to say, well, we need people to cover kicks. So I don't know. but at some point, I think the great return on Kevin Mack, Khalil Mack, is, number one, yeah, he's a special player, but he makes everybody around him better. Danny Trevathan stepped up last week, was defensive player of the week in the NFL. Akeem Hicks, he'll be better. Eddie Goldman, he'll be better. Leonard Floyd, hey, Leonard Floyd's taking the big club off his hand because he wants to get in the headlines. So this is, it spreads. They're like a bunch of little kids. They all want their pat on the back, and Khalil Mack is the guy that is driving this. And it's fun to watch. We haven't seen it in a long time.
All right, let's get to the picks here. By the way, I don't know if any of you have noticed, we haven't even started our fantasy football season on the show yet. Oh. Why hurry? Why jump into it? Justin, your pick.
I say Bears 24, Cardinals 3.
Wow, blowout.
Wow. I was very close to the score last week if they would have scored a touchdown.
Here's the interesting thing. We're all 2-0.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody kept score. Andy?
I'm going to go Bears 21-10.
I got to tell you, I like Bears in another nip and tuck. It's my third straight one-point game, 14-13.
Hmm.
Samri, got a pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go again with a tie, 14-14.
Oh! There's another tie in the NFL. My head will explode. Ham?
This is a game that we have to dominate, 30-3. And
wow.
You know what? This is a game that sets a tone. And if we're going to do anything, this is where you set it right here.
Yeah.
Let's roll. And on Monday, I think I'll probably be the closest. So I'll be waiting for the Monday morning call.
I just look forward to Sunday night when you and OB just have some sort of mini stroke live on the air, and Kaz is the leveling factor. Come on.
Hamp will join us Monday at 9:10.
Okay.
We have a schedule thing. So.
Okay. 9:10. Good. He gets to sleep in for once. Thanks, buddy.
Night. Go Bears.
There you go.
Go Bears.
It's Dan Hampton.
The Bears have a good track record against Sam Bradford. When he was in Minnesota, we harassed him. If you remember last year, he played at the beginning of the game against the Vikings at Soldier Field. I think it was a Monday night game. And we beat him, and they brought in Case Keenum, and it was Keenum who, from that point on, played for the Vikings, and he actually beat us. So the point is, we do well against Bradford, and if they don't go to Bradford, they go to a rookie, so it looks good.
Looking forward to it, of course, as we are. White Sox Cubs this afternoon, and Ron Kittle joins us next.
It's the Red Line Series, North versus South, and we're live from Cork and Kerry at the park on 720 WGN.
Sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company and Virtue Cider. Cork and Kerry at the corner of 33rd and Princeton here all day. Bill and Wendy after the program on their show from 10 to 1. And then John Williams follows on. And we could achieve a milestone that I've never had in almost 40 years of being on the radio. But I'm not going to tell you about that till later. Just know it's a cliffhanger.
I'll stick around then.
All right, listen, one of my favorite guys and one of the great Chicago athletes of all time, Ron Kittle, joins us. And if you need some expert carpentry, he's your man. But it's not just that. He's one of the great baseball stars the city has ever seen. He's a handsome devil still. He's like Ali. He's still pretty. And he joins us. Good morning.
Good morning there. Boy, that's an intro for you, huh?
Yeah, trying to live up to that. We were talking off the air about you guys ever playing a Cubs Sox game. When you were playing, is that when that midseason exhibition game started?
Yeah, we just had a one game play. And, I have a great memory of it. Dave Otto got brought up from the minor leagues to throw in that game because he never used your starting pitcher. And
right.
I was his first hitter, and he drilled me in the rib cage.
Oh.
And he was thinking about how fast he could run over center field wall before I beat him up.
That's tremendous.
First pitch, as hard as he could throw, and he screamed, "Look out!" So he was nervous. He just came up
to
the play, I just let it hit, rolled down on the ground. I walked to third. He said, "Because I was getting ready to run for my life."
That's tremendous.
You know, when you're playing exhibition games in the middle of the season, did the players take it seriously because it was a rivalry, North Side, South Side, or was it just like, okay, we got to do this for the fans and the real games next day?
Well, yeah, it was not that serious, because what happened, you really didn't want nobody to get hurt on your off day, you know, playing inner city, but it was fun, you know, because you got to know both sides of it, you know, all the players, and just like Dave Otto, I mean, if he would have hit somebody in the head or broke the hand for somebody, you know, he's out for a good long time, so that was always a cautious area, but Crosstown Classic, for the Crosstown Cup is pretty cool right now. There's a lot of competition.
All right, so what do you think of this young Sox team? We talked about it on opening day when we were out here. You know, you've seen the games off and on throughout the season. Any update?
You know, they're good for about four innings. Unfortunately, the rest of the innings are just struggling. But I like what I see. I mean, they got some young talent. They made a lot of mistakes this year. And the mistakes are shortening up. So they're not, you know, as bad. They're playing a great second half, which I called. And I'm looking forward to the near future, you know, the next 2 years, to see what's going to happen with these guys, because they definitely have some talent.
All right, Ron, my intention is not to make you feel old by asking you this, but can you believe it's been 35 years since your rookie season and that 1983 winning ugly team?
He's going to chase you on the center field wall.
I know. I'm
well,
running fast.
Making me feel old. That's why you made me call in instead of sit next to you this year. You know,
exactly.
We talk about that. But, you know what? It's a great respect for the game. I feel fortunate to work for the Chicago White Sox as an ambassador. I have fun. I don't enjoy watching the game, like, every pitch, because I want to go out there and micromanage it or play. But it's fun when I do, and I get to hang with my boy Harold Baines, too.
Wow, that was my question about, you know, it being 35 years later. Do you get to hang out, or do you still have relationships with some of the players that were on that 83 squad?
Oh, I keep in touch with quite a few of them, to tell you the truth. But Harold's an ambassador with myself, so we get to reminisce. He can't remember one game from another. I can tell you pretty much every single one of his at-bats. And anytime he has a question, he asks me, "Hey, what did I do here?" You know, but it's fun. You know, Dad, I've been with Harold since 1979 in the minor league, so that's a long time. And, we have a lot of fun, and it's just nice being at the ballpark.
Yeah. As we get ready for it today, Andy, you've been watching this team all year long as well. Are you on the same page? Four good innings isn't enough?
Yeah, well, I mean, it isn't. But I think to Ron's point, I mean, they're learning, and it's tough to watch sometimes, but you hope that by the time that this comes about next year, that they remember what they did wrong and start to improve. And I think we've seen some steady improvement.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's some players out there that make some great plays. Ivy Garcia, who was probably one of the best hitters on the team, you know, he had a couple blowed out hamstrings this year. And when you're hurt, you can't do a whole lot of anything out there. But he's playing. He's trying to, you know, salvage what's rest of the season. Last night was a big win for the White Sox in Cleveland. So, you know, they never give up. You know, that little quote that Ricky Renteria had is, they don't give up, they don't. He ain't going to let them give up. So that's big encouragement out there. And I think, Michael Kopech with his arm, you know, if you would have saw Tommy John, how his physical condition was when he hurt his elbow, Michael Kopech's in phenomenal shape compared to Tommy John. So I think he's going to heal quickly and he's going to be ready to go. And my logic is I would rather have him hurt his arm now instead of 2 years from now when the team's rocking and rolling and he's missing the rest of the season. So let's get it taken care of. Let him get it back on the mound. And he's a potential 20-game winner.
You know, I like this weekend. I like the Sox taking 2 of 3. The Cubs lose the 2 of 3. The Brewers win 2 of 3. And Cub fans reach for the Pepto-Bismol. Who's with me? Who's with me?
positive thinking, huh?
You want to go out and get yourself a big bat. You want to go out and get yourself something very cool. In the world of woodworking, there's nobody better than my pal Ron Kittle. What's the website for the carpentry side?
Well, it's ronkittle.com, and it's under construction, just like all the wood that's in my shop. It's going to be built into something. I just do it for a hobby. You know, it's I don't want to
pull time down. Don't sell yourself short. You're really good.
No, I take pride in it, to tell you the truth. Somebody asked me, could I buy a bench you made a mistake on? I said, I've never made a mistake on one of my benches I built. So, unfortunately, they're a little bit on the high price. I mean, it's $3,000 a piece, but there's 18 bats, baseballs, bases. I enjoy doing it. It's an honest day's work, and it's a lot of fun.
It's Ron Kittle, and for you Sox fans, see him at the ballpark. You know, he always enjoys talking to fans and hanging out with you, and it's good to have you on anytime. You know that. So thanks for jumping on.
I appreciate it. I might even walk over when I get to the park today and visit with you guys.
Come on. There get over go. Here, Cork and Carey. There you go, Ron Kittle.
All right.
More see to come. Guys. Dean Richards in just a few minutes. Hamp again was sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hey, I don't know if you heard, we got Steve Stone today.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Lots of great. Scotty Plesetnik coming up. Jermaine Dye.
True.
One of my favorite White Sox of all time, Jermaine Dye.
Chris Getz, Chuck Garfine, Kelly Kroll, all still to come before 10 and Bill and Wendy at 720 WGN. Mary?
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
entertainment. That's right. I said it. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. Good morning, Dean.
Are the crowds out there cheering on, asking for more on entertainment?
Yeah, it's frenzied here. It's frenzied here. We've had to call in for backup security.
Because I am a native Southsider.
Hold it down, people. We're doing a show.
You got
south
the attention side, of the joggers
south
outside.
Southside.
Hey, why was our friend Jim Gaffigan in town? Was he doing a show?
He was doing a charity show last night. Oh. Not a big-time fancy show like he normally does, like Chicago Theater or someplace. He came in to do a show for the Georgetown Scholarship Foundation that allows...
Did I win?
Kids who... No, I'm sorry, you missed out this time. Kids that don't have enough money to go to school, where he went to school at Georgetown, to be able to go to school. So it was a benefit for them. And it was a big 10th anniversary party for Michigan Avenue Magazine. And he is big-time friends with Michigan Avenue Magazine. So he did a show at Main Stage in Evanston and then came downtown to the new Tao restaurant and nightclub. That used to be Excalibur. It used to be Limelight, back in the day. It's a beautiful new restaurant, beautiful new club now.
It's huge.
The place is gigantic and absolutely beautiful inside. But I did realize we were in the sort of the nightclub area waiting for Jim, and then we found a quiet spot to go and talk. But just standing in the nightclub for about a half an hour last night, I realized I could easily be anyone's grandfather in that room.
Dean, here's a good bit for all of us. I see you, me, and Steve, let's get our rayon shirts and go there and act like we didn't know that Excalibur is gone.
What?
It's gone.
What?
I said,
hey, we're here to visit Jimmy Z. He said Wednesdays is the night to be here.
I said,
hey, the door guy's not here. Tonight we get in.
At one point, I said there were a bunch of people who were at the club, working with the club, and I said, what did this used to be called? I used to come here back in the day. And they looked at me like, Grandpa, we'll get you a chair to sit down. Relax. Don't worry about it. They're like Excalibur. It's like, oh, yeah. I think I came here before it was Excalibur. It was Limelight.
Are you here to pick up your daughter or your granddaughter?
My granddaughter. Right, exactly. My granddaughter, right.
All right. But it was you got a little sound from Jimmy?
Yeah, very nice. He talked to us a little bit about why he was there.
We raised some money for this scholarship fund. And we also are celebrating Michigan Avenue Magazine, which is, you know, we need more magazines.
We do. We do. High-quality ones.
It is, like, it is like a beautiful
That's a great magazine. Yeah.
Yes, I was on the cover one.
I remember you did the centerfold a couple of years
ago. I did the centerfold. It was actually an 8-page spread. It was just all gut.
2 pages were not enough.
Not enough.
Yeah. How was your wife doing?
She's good. She's good, thank you. She's, you know, she's not 100%, but she's, her 80% is a normal person's 120%. So she's doing well, thank you.
And so you took over really full-time management of the kids during her recuperation period.
Right? Yeah, and hopefully my time of taking care of those kids, hopefully they'll eventually recover from that.
Just wondering, you know, what it must be like to have Jim Gaffigan as your dad. Five kids. There are five kids.
They were living in a 1.5 bedroom apartment until crazy. About 2 years ago.
His wife recovering.
Wife had cancer, right?
Yeah, she had a benign brain tumor, but it still had to be removed. It was fairly sizable. Hmm. She's doing well. She's having trouble with swallowing. Because it affected the nerves. And,
well, that's not good. She needed to gain weight while he needed to lose.
I think he would be.
I mean,
the first.
That's in the healthy days.
Yeah, but she's doing okay. She's he says that she's doing much better every day. So all of our prayers and best wishes to all of them. And Jim remains one of the nicest guys in the world. Although I did call him out for dragging me out at 9 o'clock at night to come and talk to him instead of waking up early like back in the old days where. You know, he would come on all of our shows in the morning.
You know, I've lost touch with him, and I feel like maybe we need counseling. So I'm going to have to double back. And
I could stage like an intervention reunion kind of deal.
I think that's fair. Yeah. Blackjack McDowell standing by out here. I know you're on the way to the park, but give me some quick movie reviews here. What do you think of Love, Gilda?
Love, Gilda is a beautiful documentary about Gilda Radner. It shows us never-before-seen video footage and film footage of Gilda, never-before-seen heard audio recordings, excerpts from her diary. Shed some new light on this much beloved, incredibly talented person who died way too early. Michael Moore's new documentary is also out this weekend, Fahrenheit 11/9. You remember that he did the documentary a few years ago called Fahrenheit 9/11 after the attack on the World Trade Center, and it was the movie pretty much attack on George W. Bush. At the time. So this one, Fahrenheit 11/9, which is the day after Donald Trump was elected president, just really talks about where we are in America right now and the failings of both the Democrats and the Republicans.
This is a real struggle for me, as you know, because I'm so anti-Trump, but I'm also so anti-Michael Moore. I don't know who I like less.
I think he, he gives it to both sides. In this movie, so I'm purposely not reviewing the movie because it's so politically polarizing.
Yeah,
makes sense. I don't think there's any point in saying whether I think it's good or bad. If you like Donald Trump, you're probably not going to like this movie. I think it's going to depend on where you are politically with this movie. But he does raise a lot of questions for both sides, for both the left and right on this. So take it for what it's worth.
Life Itself is what?
Life Itself is from the creators of the TV show This Is Us, and it's got sort of that feel about it, deep, intense emotions, really emotional, tear-jerking moments in this movie. It's about two generations of families that you would not think are connected at all, and through really fairly complex storytelling in this movie. It's really my only criticism of this movie. It's a little bit more complex than it needs to be. It winds up being kind of a beautiful story that winds together kind of beautifully. I liked it. It's tough to watch at times, but I gave it a Dean's List C. The one to see this weekend, especially take the kids, The House with a Clock in Its Walls with Jack Black and Kate Blanchett. It's a little Harry Potter-like. It's a little Beetlejuice-like. It's like a kind of an old-fashioned kids movie that's not afraid to be a little bit scary and a little bit un-PC. About a little boy whose parents are killed in a car crash. He goes to stay with his nutty uncle, played by Jack Black, who happens to be a warlock. His best friend happens to be a witch. They live in a house that happens to be full of supernatural activity going on, and a plot to turn back all the clocks in the world and time in the world to reset the world to get rid of evil. I liked it. I thought it was, you know, it's fun. It might be a little bit scary for really little kids, but it's full of whimsy and fun and adventure, and I gave it a Dean's List B.
You on a radio Sunday?
I am actually going to be hosting the opening ceremonies for the annual AIDS Run and Walk outside of Soldier Field. I'll be checking in with Pete McMurray on the phone, and we'll have my full interview with Jim Gaffigan, by the way. So tune in Sunday morning to hear all of that. If you can, join us out at Soldier Field on Sunday morning for the AIDS Run and Walk.
Thank you, buddy.
Have fun.
That's More on Entertainment, sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
Live from the South Side and Cork and Kerry at the Park, this is our celebration of the Red Line Series on the home of the White Sox, 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran celebrating White Sox Cubs weekend.
Yeah.
Andy, pregame today starts when?
2:35.
And Bill and Wendy will be here shortly. After that, you got the John Williams Show. Fan favorite, baseball favorite, as far as I'm concerned. Any city you went to, fans loved a tough Jack McDowell.
Cy Young Award winner.
Three-time All-Star, Black Jack McDowell joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How you doing, man? I appreciate you getting up and coming on.
No problem. I'm not getting up. I've already dropped the kids off, made lunches, and I'm here at work. So
yeah, and tell everybody what work is now.
Work is I'm head baseball coach for Queens University of Charlotte.
Amazing. How is it for you, and to make that transition, but to be a head coach, to be a manager in baseball?
That's what I always want to do. I mean, basically, that's why I didn't get into pro ball for a long time, is because I knew I would just get, kind of locked into being just a pitching coach. And realistically, that's not what I wanted to do. I just baseball overall, I just feel like I had too much knowledge and too much, passion for teaching the overall game rather than just sitting there and watching bullpens.
So when you look at this team, as much as you've been able to pay attention while you're managing your own business this summer, everybody talks about how young they are. Obviously, closers have been an issue. Late innings are an adventure here at Guaranteed Rate Field, but are you sharing the optimism everybody else has?
Well, we'll see. You're banking on quite a few guys having to come up and be dudes, and there's one thing to be a big league prospect that, yeah, he's probably going to get to the big leagues and do something, but you never know who the real studs are going to be until you get there and start playing. It's like, yeah, you can say, hey, pretty sure this guy fits the mold of a big league player. But, you want to contend, you better have all-stars and guys contending for awards and things like that. So, the optimism's there because they got a lot of young kids, but it's still, they got to get out there and play the games.
Yeah.
The mindset that you took to the mound with you every day, you think it's changed in the game these days that the pitchers have that same focus and same mentality that they want to take the ball and they want to finish where they started?
Well, obviously not. I mean, it's just not the deal anymore. No one is allowed to, and they're doing all this stuff, supposedly trying to limit injuries and all that. Yet injuries are increasing. So my thought is, at what point are we going to realize that that's not the right approach? And I say this all the time, and it's just like, how many years are we going to keep holding guys back and still watching tons of guys get hurt at a record number? And back in our day, you were the pitcher, and that was important to a team. I think that's a lost thing, that if teams had that, they wouldn't really realize how much you're saving your bullpen, how much your guys are going to be better rested there. And
it's gotten so out of hand, Jack. I mean, it really has gotten so out of hand. So how do you handle it with the guys you're coaching now who grew up in a system in Little League ball or Babe Ruth ball or, high school ball where they're probably all on pitch counts?
Yeah, it is all pitch counts, and it's a matter of trying to get them built up past the place they've ever been before. Hmm. And
my thoughts on it is a lot of it is just the preseason work before you even get on the mound. I don't think guys prepare enough to get on the mound. They're just, you know, they go, oh, let's throw, you know, a couple balls and let's just start throwing pitching on the mound. And I think that by building up your arm and your arm strength and your body prior to getting on, you know, an angle and throwing with that kind of torque, I don't think guys go hard enough to prepare themselves for all that.
Jack, we had Kittle on last hour. He talked about the 35th anniversary of the 83 team. It's also the 25th anniversary of the 93 team, the year that you won the Cy Young Award. Do you keep in touch with the players that you were on that team? And do you still consider about what might have been? Yeah.
Yeah, we had the fun reunion over, what was it, about a month ago. They had 23 guys that showed up. So, yeah, it was great getting to see everybody and reconnect and everyone. You know, we got a list, so now we got everyone's recent cell phone numbers. So, yeah, we'll stay in contact a lot better now. But that was a really fun weekend.
Do you guys, as Sox fans, do you as well think about what could have been in 94, the idea of the strike season where we were so far out in front? Do you do you think about that?
It's funny, having Griz Zelanick here in Charlotte as a AAA manager, because we always kind of like to laugh about that and go, I'm going to kind of slap now as time has gone by. You hear more people talk, well, yeah, Montreal was stacked. And I look and go, yeah, you know what, guys? We were stacked, too.
Yeah,
and
right.
Not only were that, we were on fire at that time. Right when the thing went, it was like me and Alex couldn't have been pitching any better than we had in our career. And Jason and Wilson were all-stars that year, and everyone was just clicking.
Yeah, I mean, you would have had to pull a Cubs 1969 to give that up. That was, the saddest thing about that summer.
Yeah.
Because it just looked like a lock. Listen, it's great that you jumped on. I appreciate it. And congratulations on all the success you've had and are having. And for you kids listening out there, the only way to get a stronger arm is to throw. You got to throw, kids. So listen to Uncle Jack as he tells you, strengthen up, get stronger. There's no downside to that. And Coach, we'll be sending you our kids.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. See you, man. Thank you. And we continue. Live from Cork and Kerry here at the park. And come by and see us if you can find room. We'll be here all day long. Broadcasting live, sponsored by Virtue Cider, Goose Island Beer Company, and more. Cubs Sox this afternoon on 720 WGN. Headlines next.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
A breaking in the air. Deep left. Just in time.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic.
Psychic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Stone, sponsored, yeah. As he is every Friday, all season long. Every Friday. We've had him on every week, haven't we? Every Friday. Have we missed a week with
Every
Stoney?
Single Friday this entire season.
Am I right about this?
You
every
did.
Friday.
Yeah,
every Friday.
He even did a segment with us from the doctor's office. The That's
exactly
right.
Exactly right. It's every Friday. Sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Where are you eating today, Steve?
Il Portellino tonight. It's an early game or earlier than normal, and so we'll get some time to go out. And Il Portellino on Hubbard seems to be the place. Try the pasta Bonetti. He'll like it, so will you.
All right, so...
Is the pasta Bonetti named after Jason Bonetti?
Yes, it is.
Yes, absolutely.
And Steve, I know you're not able to come over to Cork and Kerry where we're at right now, but people can go to the WGNradio.com to see a photo gallery of our broadcast.
Right, and also we appreciate the Chicago Police Department and the crowd control they've done here today as well. You wouldn't think people come out to a bar at this hour, but it's Cork and Kerry. Come on, stop it already. All right, Steve, I don't think I've ever asked you this. Do you like interleague play?
I do. I think that... fans love to see the competition, especially when you have premier rival teams going head to head. I'm talking about Yankees and the Mets, obviously Sox and Cubs, the Giants and Oakland, and obviously, well, sure, that's the rivalries. I just like to see the fans get a chance to see some really good players that they wouldn't normally see. That's why I like interleague. I think the fans, for the most part, really enjoy it. I do also.
You know, when we were growing up, It's funny because I just saw an old scorecard on a wall here with Tony Kubek's name on it. And you had Kurt Gowdy and Tony Kubek doing the game of the week. And you never, ever, outside of the All-Star game or the World Series, got a look at the other leagues. You read about it in the paper, but you just didn't get a look at other teams the way you do now. So I'm with you in the same vein. I like the interleague play. Andy, I know you see Steve Stone all the time, but do you have any questions for Mr. Stone?
I want to know how you enjoyed doing a little play-by-play last night on the television with Tom Pachorik.
I had a really good time with Tom. Jason was away doing a football game, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. However, I could have used a little less than 4 hours or whatever it was. It was an astonishingly long game. It always is the case with a getaway day or night, then coming home, you know, getting home late to turn around into a semi-day game. It's not the easiest thing in the world, mostly for the players. I mean, it's a quick turnaround for them. So that's one of the reasons why I proposed having a day game, getaway day every day across the league. If you make it a rule, then you don't have to worry about exceptions or anything else to it.
Steve, this is obviously a big series for Chicago fans, but it's also a big series for you and the White Sox as Hawk will broadcast his final game on Sunday. How do you feel about that, and what should we expect from the broadcast?
Well, I think Hawk's going to do exactly what he has done, is give you a good, solid broadcast. He's very enthusiastic when the Sox... And hopefully that will happen. The Sox win maybe a couple of games in this series. But look, it's been a wonderful, a very long career for Ken Harrelson. We're going to see him around all the time. He's still associated with the baseball team as an ambassador, a goodwill ambassador, if you will. And I think that we will see him there. I assume he'll pop up on television every now and then. That's just the assumption that I do make. So I don't think we'll see the last of him. And I think he deserves to take a step back to do what he wants to do. He loves the grandkids. He loves to see them play sports. They do it pretty well. So he's getting a chance to do things he might have wanted to do earlier, but for whatever reason didn't. And I think it's a good thing. And also, I think that the Sox fans will see Hawk there, if not on a regular basis, fairly often.
He'll be around. Steve, your career as a broadcaster, you have been with two iconic characters of broadcasting. Hawk, of course, Harry Carey.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. Yeah, I'm glad Steve you went with Harry and Hawk. Yeah.
But talk about that, the idea of the character broadcaster, because now we're seeing a little bit more of the younger type that come in, or the more of the baseball type. You're not getting that shirtless bleacher type that has catchphrases and things of that nature.
Well, you're right, and I don't think that we're going to see the likes of Harry Carey or Hawk Harrelson again. I mean, I just don't think that that's going to happen. These are unique broadcasters. They very much rooted on a daily basis for whatever team they happen to be covering to win the ballgame, and were very excited when they did, and very disappointed when they didn't. And so that's one of the characteristics that both of these guys share. They were both very colorful guys. And the one thing that you have to respect both of these guys for, and this is usually any of the longtime broadcasters, nobody was indifferent to either Harry Carey or Ken the Hawk Harrelson.
Right. Great point.
They have an opinion. And that's one of the things that you strive for. If you're going to be, you know, on the public airwaves, you're going to try to make an impression with the fans. You're going to try to explain to them on a daily basis what went right, what went wrong, and show them that you really mean what you're talking about as far as the love of their respective teams. They both had that, and so, but you're right. I think the baseball people are starting to realize that the greatest extension via the marketing program is through the telecasts on obviously TV and radio, the broadcasts on radio. So knowing that that the guys who are doing it for them are part of the sales department, essentially. Yes, we talk baseball all the time, however we're trying to sell the product. That comes hand in hand with the deal. We want to expose more people to White Sox baseball, and we want to expose to them on a daily basis. It was the same thing when Harry was with the various teams he was with, and Hawk primarily with the White Sox. Yeah. They want to sell the product. That's the thing that they want. And that's why it's a different broadcaster these days than when Harry or Hawk were coming up.
Yeah, and you look at the guys associated with teams through the years. That's the other thing that you don't have that you used to have. Jack Buck with the Cardinals, John Miller still with the Giants, Vin Scully, obviously, Ernie Fears. You know, I miss those days. But, Steve, as you know, I'm old now.
Yeah, I know that very well because I'm older. So, sure. I mean, that, look, there's been great broadcasts. I'm kind of hoping that we get some throwback guys. I think we're going to do that. I think, you know, like every other thing associated with baseball, it runs in cycles. I think you go in one cycle for a while. I will welcome when the next Ken Harrelson, the next Harry Carey, next Ernie Harwell, all of the great guys associated with a specific team, and guys that outwardly root for their team. I mean, I like the fact that you don't denigrate the opposition, but you just say, hey, look, this is what happened. This is why it happened. This wasn't good. This was good. You know, you can't have, if nothing is bad, you can't have anything that's good. If nothing is awful, you can't have anything that's great. And this is a game where you have a lot of great performers. You have to measure it against something. We see it every day.
It's Steve Stone, and a big weekend here when the White Sox take, I'm calling it right now, 2 of 3 from the Cubs and give the Cubs a massive migraine. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Have a good show. Enjoy Cork and Carry.
There you go. And enjoy Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. We're bringing Steve Stone every week. Is he on every week?
Every single week.
Every week, you're telling me. Every week he's on.
Y'all having a good time out there.
It's a Redline Series rally from Cork and Carry, 33rd and Princeton on the south side. Here on the flagship home of the Chicago White Sox, 720 WGN.
I don't know why I'm reading Trump's Twitter feed. It just aggravates me. Why am I just not reading at Chuck Garfine? Yeah. Right, Chuck? Shouldn't I just be reading your feed?
Exactly. I will always put you in a good mood.
You're not going to annoy me.
No, I try not to. Try not to.
Matter of fact, I'm going to that right now as you tell me why you're excited about this weekend.
Well, I'm excited about this weekend. Well, I mean, Cubs suck. No matter, you know, you throw the records out. It is a big cliche, but, you know, when you get these two teams and all the fans from both sides of town to one place, anything can happen. And this was a time even when the White Sox were good and the Cubs were bad. The Cubs would oftentimes play the White Sox really hard, and they were exciting games, and unexpected, unpredictable things would happen, like the A.J. Barrett fight. So you never know. I'm not saying there's going to be a fight today, but I'm saying, you know, you never know what's going to happen when the Sox and Cubs take the field. And I'm excited because you also have Lopez and Giolito and Rodon, three pillars of this rotation going forward, facing the Cubs in these three games. And I'm, you know, interested to see how they do in games that don't mean a ton in terms of the standings for the White Sox, but they mean something for the future, and you want to see how they perform with a packed house in their home park.
Chuck, the usually these games happen in the, earlier in the summer, May, June, July, of course, less on the line. Do you like the idea that the Cubs-Sox rivalry actually can have an impact on what happens in this case to the Cubs in the playoffs?
You know, it's funny. When the schedule came out, I had never seen this before. I'm sure this is the first time that this late in the year they were scheduled to face each other. I don't know what's going to happen anytime soon again, but I kind of like it, yeah. You know, I wish there was the White Sox were playing for something here from the White Sox perspective. And, you know, I think it doesn't really seem to matter to me whether it's September or June or July. If you're a Sox fan, you wanted them to play well against the Cubs just because it's
– right.
You know, it's more of a Cubs town, and so I think Sox fans just kind of feel the Cubs thing more and more as the Cubs have been good for a few years. So I think if you're a Sox fan, if it's not hurting their chances to win the division, it's look, they're in our home field, let's beat them because we don't want to at least have some bragging rights going into the offseason.
Right. Chuck, you mentioned the Barrett and Brzezinski fight. Any other big highlights during this series that stick out to you in games that you've covered?
Did you guys talk about this? So the Jordan Gapper?
The Jordan Gapper. But that was back when it was just an exhibition game.
Okay, there's a few that stick out. One is, right. So after the A.J. Barrett fight, I don't know if it was the same year, but it was, if not that same year, it was the next year. A.J. hit a big home run off of Ryan Dempster at Wrigley Field. And, you know, late in the game, it ended up on Sheffield. And, in fact, the fan who got the ball was a St. Louis Cardinals fan. He gave the ball to A.J., and A.J. has that ball in his house to this day.
Wow.
There was a game when Carlos Zambrano kind of lost it in the dugout on Derek Lee.
It's unusual because he's so stable.
You never did that.
And Lou Piniella sent him home.
Right.
And Ozzie Guillen actually told a really funny story recently to me in that he said that Lou Piniella was facing so much, you know, attention because of that thing that happened. He actually texted or called Ozzy that day and said, hey, can you just say something stupid to get the media on you and not with me? Because he didn't want to have to answer all these questions of Carlos Delgado.
It's an absolutely true story. Piniella told me that story off the air, and he also told me the real language he used to Zambrano in the dugout.
By the way, I really miss the Ozzy, Lou Piniella, you know, dichotomy when those guys were together.
Dichotomy and psychoticness, to invent a word.
So it just show you how special Ozzy is. It's the 2008 playoffs in Tampa. And this is right when, you know, there was Ozzy and Lou, and they had a great mutual respect for each other, and they would kind of kid about each other. I'm sure Ozzy was kidding more about Lou. It is like 10 minutes before the first pitch of the ALDS against the Rays, and Ozzy and a few of us reporters were talking to him on the field, and Ozzy is doing an impression, his impression, of Lou Piniella. 10 minutes before the first pitch of the ALDS. It's a good one. Next time you see him, you got to ask him to do his Lou Piniella impression.
And with the accent, there's just a tinge of the accent still there. So it's strong. Chuck, NBC Sports Chicago, and obviously you'll be watching the weekend hard. Are you coming out here in a few minutes? Because, you know, we're on until 10.
I will not be there at 10. I'll be there at 11:30. I'll be there. You guys didn't invite me. If you had invited me to be there, I'd be there.
We wanted to invite you. Sandberg said no. At Chuck Garfine on Twitter, Garfien, doing great work as always. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Mary, what do you got? Mary Vandeville. Live from the Vanderbilt place.
Coming
stuff
up, the
that matters,
yeah. Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
Podsednik hits one to deep right center field. Back at the wall. This ball is gone. Podsednik goes deep. His second home run of the postseason. And the White Sox win it 7-6.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Game two from the World Series.
Amazing.
Closed it out just the way you would expect. Scotty Boom Boom Posednik. 4,100 plus at-bats in his life. 41 home runs. 4,141 home runs. And two in that postseason. Broadcasting live from Cork and Kerry at the park. Place to go before and after the game. Sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company. And at the corner of 33rd and Princeton. You can come out here all day long. Bill and Wendy will be here, and so will John Williams, also sponsored by Virtue Cider.
I know Scotty Pod's going to join us in a second on the phone. I'm a little worried because I was going to race him down Princeton, see who's faster today.
I think he's going to beat you still.
No,
I don't know because he's out of the game. I heard Posednik has ballooned up to 375 pounds.
And if you've noticed from my 16-inch softball days, I'm in prime shape.
Well, let's go to Scott Posednik now. First off, welcome to the program. Thanks for doing this. And are you willing to race Justin to the corner?
I'm willing. Justin, you got those hamstrings in shape and ready to go?
So the rumor I heard that you're up to 375 in retirement is not true.
Well, 275.
275.
275, but I still feel confident that I can outrun him to the street corner.
All right, now
I'm shifty. Watch out.
I'm going to ask you a variation on the question you get asked every day. When you hit that home run to win game two of the World Series, what did you feel like, and did you think you were dreaming?
Well, I tell you, it's tough to put into words exactly what it was like. I know that shot surprised, you know, all of you guys and just as much me as everyone else in the ballpark.
I mean, you were Kirk Gibson without the limp.
It was crazy. It really was bananas. It's tough for me to describe the feeling. I think that the journey I took to get there, spending 9 years in the minor leagues, various operations, some surgeries, and just going for that long before even breaking into the big leagues, and then just my third year, I find myself in a World Series with the White Sox.
It was a very emotional time. I recall it vividly, seeing Tim Raines throw his hand up and then hooking out to see the ball leave the ballpark. But it was a really special time.
Scott, there are both of these squads coming together today. Cubs and the Sox have experimented greatly with their leadoff hitter. You've seen Anthony Rizzo in the position, others on the White Sox, Yoan Moncada, others. But you were a quintessential leadoff guy, a guy who got on base and was going base to base. Do you think that the league is lacking that today, that there are less of the Scott Pesednik's on Major League rosters?
I wouldn't say that there aren't any skill sets out there that are incapable of playing that type of game. I think what we're seeing is guys catering to what teams are incentivizing right now in terms of their offense. You know, you just don't see guys stealing bases much anymore. You don't see guys bunting, hit and running. You know, we're kind of all for nothing with the home run. The strikeouts are up because of that. But I think it just boils down to, what teams are paying for. You know, if a guy can go out and hit 15 to 20 home runs, he can make himself some decent money. But, back to, to me and back when I was playing, that was what I could do. You know, I had a pretty good eye. I could find myself to first base. I could hit singles. And then, my number one tool was my ability to run. So I figured out in the minor league that I was going to have to hone that skill. I was going to have to learn how to bunt. I was going to have to learn how to handle the bat and steal bases. And we're just not seeing a whole lot of that in the game much anymore.
God, if guys could bunt, and I'm not being flipped
anymore.
You talk about a lost skill. You need archaeologists to find guys that could bunt now, Andy.
You definitely do.
You do, and I may be a little different, but just me personally, it takes some art, and I think that it's really fun to see a guy dead in a ball. Right in front of the third baseman and outrun the ball to first base. That's just kind of excited me. And then he finds a way to first base, and then he finds a way to steal second.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I prided myself around. That's kind of what I enjoyed. I love the thrill of being at first base when everyone in the ballpark knew I was going, and to still try to execute and steal that base. That's just kind of why I play the game and what gave me juice.
Reminds me a lot of when I played wiffle ball.
hey, Scott, obviously, we've discussed here, the game has changed since you played it. And now you've had a unique opportunity to kind of see it from a media sort of perspective and talking about it. Does it get frustrating for you to watch today's game, or have you kind of adapted to what's going on here now?
Well, you bring up a good point. You kind of have to adapt. You have no choice. I'm not going to say it's the most exciting brand of baseball. You know, there are times when I'm watching a four-hour ball game and you just don't see a lot of offense, you kind of get perturbed by it. But I understand that the game is going to continue to progress. And again, I think players are just going to kind of try and develop their games based on what's incentivized. So, a lot of it comes down to the skill sets and the philosophies of a club. You know, they look at who they have as players, and then they try to put together a plan and an identity on how they're going to best score runs and how they're going to best, pitch it and catch it. So, I find myself kind of asking those questions at times, but understand that times continue to change, they progress, and we can either get on board with it or not.
That's a very big picture of you. How are the kids doing? How old are they now?
9 and 8.
And are they playing ball?
Nixon is playing ball, yeah. His season started this past weekend. They got rained out, and he's got two more games this weekend. They're calling for rain again. But they're doing good, 9 and 8. I don't know where the time is going.
The summer
kind of came and gone here in Texas. So but they seem to be doing good.
One of the great things about sports is what you can do in an instant. And whatever you do with the rest of your life, feel good about the fact that in one swing of the bat, in one crack of a second, you electrified not just lifelong Sox fans like Justin Kaufman here, or Wendy, or Super Joe back at the radio station, but the entire city of Chicago going bananas because you hit that shot that night. That's pretty cool.
Well, I really appreciate that, and it still gives me goosebumps to this day to talk about, and it never gets old, so I really appreciate that. It was a special time for me. You know, I reflect back on it all the, you know, not a day goes by to where it just doesn't hop in and out of my mind. So I
get
really
Nixon to watch that tape over and over again and go, come on out in the backyard, boy. Let me show you what Dad did.
Well, but believe me, he has. Him and Petra both have Joe Buck's reaction to it. They know it by heart. So it's every now and then he'll throw it out there, and it's kind of great. Fun to hear.
They might be a couple years away from a cell phone, but I say you make it their ringtone. All right, bud. Thanks Scotty for being Pops. On. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Scotty. Hey, yeah,
you got it, guys. I'll be down on Tuesday covering the Cleveland and then that last series wrapping up. So we'll see you out here in a few days.
See ya.
Excellent. Thanks. Yeah. And by the way, Andy, we should salute Scotty Butts for his TV work.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. It's not an easy transition for a lot of people.
Uh-oh. You know, I love the home run. Everyone loves a home run, but I share his sentiment that when he got on first base, we got excited.
Yeah,
because he was such a dynamic player to be able to always look to steal second base.
So missing element of the game.
Yeah, loved it.
Chris Getz coming up. Who's the most important guy in the White Sox organization right now? I'd argue Chris Getz is top five.
He's right up there. He's in the team photo.
We'll tell you why coming up on 720 WGN.
It's the Red Line Series, North versus South, and we're live from Cork and Kerry at the park on 720 WGN.
Yeah. Chris Getz, former second baseman for your Chicago White Sox, joins us on Sox-Cubs weekend. And Chris, I would argue that you are top five important guys in this organization now because you're overseeing one of the best minor league systems in baseball.
Well, good morning, guys, and thanks for saying that. Certainly feel like I'm part of an important team to kind of lead us in the right direction. But I've enjoyed the opportunity here to rejoin the White Sox and just finishing my year two, and certainly feel like we're making a lot of progress on the player development side.
Chris, is there pressure? Of course, we'll start with Eloy Jimenez. He does not get called up this season, but is there pressure from him, from his agents and fans,
his mom to
see this guy sooner than later?
You know, I wouldn't say you know, any of those people, or you feel pressure from anything like that. Certainly, he performed very well this season. Certainly, there's some things we're focusing on just to make him as well-rounded as possible. But he's positioned himself well in the organization, and we look forward to seeing him soon.
Hey, Chris, along those lines, how difficult has it been for you guys to practice this patience that you're trying to convey to everybody, not just the front office, but also with the fans? Do you find it difficult at times to be patient about this?
It's not easy. Certainly, we're all very competitive people. But, you know, Rick and Kenny, you know, they've had this vision, this plan in place, in which, you know, we've just stuck to that. To that plan and vision. So I think a lot of teams struggle at times when they go through these building phases, but it's really important to kind of hold your ground and make sound decisions to you know, essentially carry out what you were set out to do.
Language barrier has become a bigger deal in the game than before, and also there's the question about whether or not you know the true age of guys that come from Central America, the Dominican, places like that. Is it tougher to scout now because of those two things?
You know, I think Major League Baseball has done a nice job in taking on that issue. It doesn't seem to come about quite as much. But in terms of scouting on the international front, you know, it certainly presents its challenges in comparison to domestically in terms of, you know, kind of the track record and the length of time of scouting, the body. You know, here we can go back into high school, college and high school, in which it's just a different setup on the international front. But, you know, our guys do a really nice job, and I've been really happy with some of the international signings we've made on the White Sox side. And matter of fact, I'm out in the instructional league right now, and You know, we've got a handful of guys that have come over from our Dominican Academy that we've signed from Venezuela, Colombia, and obviously the Dominican. And, you know, I look forward to growing them into Major League players.
Chris, as the minor league season wrapped up, do you already think about where these players might start next season? Are you evaluating how their seasons went, especially when it comes to some of the more the star prospects of the, in the Sox system?
Yes, I certainly... At this point of the season, you project rosters. Some guys, it's pretty much you can write it in ink, and others you pencil it in. And you know, as we continue our evaluations throughout the off season and gather as much data as we can, going into spring training, and 90% of those rosters are set. While the rest will kind of unfold while we're out in Arizona.
And remember, Chris is always hardest on second baseman.
You're absolutely right. I felt the pain often.
Listen, man, congratulations on the success. It's pretty rare to see somebody come into this end of the business from off the field and advance as fast as you have. So we know you're great for the organization and looking forward to the work you're doing because we're not that far away for White Sox fans. So keep the faith. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. It's Chris Getz, former White Sox second baseman, who, after Andy, correct me if I'm wrong, but only a couple years in the Royals organization, is now running the White Sox minor leagues.
Yeah, and again, you're talking about a guy on a fast track, and it's a huge responsibility to undertake what he's doing right now.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And the greatest adjustment, Justin, from going for it'd be like me going from this to a real job, is you play the game for a living. Your day is a certain number of hours, and you're not trapped to an office generally. Not the class is, but it's real people work now.
I think they're gonna. I think Chris and the minor league system is gonna start getting sweat beads on the forehead next year. If honestly, I think they will when the Sox fans go, wait, where's this rebuild? What's going on?
Like, oh yeah, yeah.
So there's pressure.
There's
to
gotta come. Gotta be improvement.
Lots of pressure.
Absolutely has to be improvement. Coming up, Jermaine Dye.
Yeah.
Does he still own the yellow vet? Stand by for that. Plus, we get Kelly Kroll coming up, too, to give us a little news on this Addison Russell story that broke today. It's Cubs Sox weekend, and we are live at Cork and Carry. And back with your headlines next on 720.
There are over 42,000 people packed in here hoping that Lidge can get Jermaine Dye. That's up the middle, and the White Sox take the lead. A two-out RBI hit by Jermaine Dye, and Chicago is on top here in the top of the eighth.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
In an amazing career, MVP of the World Series in 2005. But Jermaine Dye, first off, thanks for coming on. Great to talk to you as always. But the main question, Jermaine, I think everybody wants to know from you is what happened to the yellow Corvette that you won for being MVP?
That I don't know what happened to that yellow Corvette, but the one I had built was that truck that was on the field, but I had it built silver and black. So
nice.
I actually just got rid of it not too long ago.
Is that right? What made me think you got? I remember vividly. Why could you forget a yellow Corvette? But I remember
he's pictured sitting on the yellow Corvette holding his trophy.
Yeah, I thought that's what you won.
Well, I think that's what you win. You actually win any kind of Chevrolet car.
Got it.
That was just kind of the host truck that they had on the field.
Well, I'll tell you, sweet. Hey, good to talk to you again. Cubs Sox weekend. The Sox obviously in a heavy rebuild, but we see a lot of potential, a lot of promise here. Cubs on the verge of getting it done again and heading for the playoffs or not. Do you think the Cubs will finish this off?
I think they'll make it. I think Madden will get those guys playing good down here the last few weeks, and I think they can possibly get it done. I mean, how far are they out right now?
Two and a half up.
It's tough. I mean, they gotta play some good baseball down the stretch.
Jermaine, you've been involved with some Cubs Sox games, some big games. Of course, the big one that we've been talking about this morning, the fight between A.J. Pierzynski and Michael Barrett. In your memories, and do you find this to be an intense rivalry? Do you think fondly about that experience?
Well, I mean, back when I was playing, it was definitely a rivalry. I'm not sure how it is now with the guys, but just the build-up. a week before, guys around the clubhouse were talking about it. And once we got on that field, it felt like a playoff game. It was playoff atmosphere. And as players, we loved playing that series. I mean, it was something that we looked forward to. And one of the first things we looked on the schedule to see when we were going to play those guys.
Hey, Jermaine, back in 05, your first year with the White Sox, you guys win the World Series. Was there any part of that season that you thought to yourself, we've got a good chance at this? Was there any defining moment that year?
I think when I signed as a free agent there, I think just looking on paper, I knew we had the talent and the players to do something. And then with Ozzie Guillen being our manager, I knew he was going to put us in the right positions to win ball games. And I think just once we got off to a good start and then guys were going out there and the starting pitching started gelling together, and halfway through the season you kind of realize, you know what, we got a bunch of unselfish players, and if we keep this going, we can do something special. And, you know, a lot of people counted us out. I think we were picked, to finish second to last in our division, and I think we kind of proved a lot of people wrong, and it just turned out to be a great year.
Jermaine, you retired after the 2009 season, I believe, and we've talked about this before, this concept that it was almost an early retirement because at the time you weren't re-signed as a free agent, and frankly the rest of the league was in that sabermetrics moment where they were looking for right fielders who were less money because they could get the same kind of production for less money or whatever they might have theorized. Are you bitter about the way your career ended, or were you ready to retire?
No, I mean, it's unfortunate the way I retired, but I kind of sat out that whole year thinking maybe somebody would, if somebody got hurt or if somebody would call or whatever, and nothing really panned out. There were no calls, and then, I just finally said, I'm just going to go out on my own terms. I probably could have played another 2 years maybe.
Absolutely.
And been happy, but, I wasn't going to just settle for anything. I had a family and three kids, and it was good being around them at their younger years also. So I am not bitter about anything.
Well, but you know what? It let us be bitter then, because I still feel like we got robbed of seeing a couple more years from you at the highest levels of production. And I don't know if baseball learned any lessons from that, but you'll never be able to convince me there wasn't some measure of collusion involved. Let me ask you a different question. There's a real lack of African-American players in the game today. There's some organizations that have tried to change that, tried to spur interest for African-American kids to get involved in the game. Do you think about that much?
Yeah, all the time. It's tough. Definitely earlier in my career, there was a lot more African-Americans playing, and as my career went on, it kind of dwindled a lot. And, I just think, it's tough. It's a tough game. Going through the minor leagues and stuff like that, I mean, on TV we see a lot of, basketball, football, and kids in the inner city tend to go more towards that. I mean, baseball is an expensive sport, to buy a bat, to buy a glove, to buy a ball, to have at least, 10 to 12 guys, 14 guys just to play a pickup game. It's tough to get that amount of people involved. So I think kids, in the inner city want to try to take care of their family the quickest way they can. And basketball and football, you get to go to college, you can go there for 1 year and come out and be a pro. So I think it's a faster route to making some money and taking care of their families. But I think baseball is trying to do a better job of, going into the inner cities and going to other countries and going out there and having camps and putting up fields and stuff like that to attract the African-Americans. So hopefully it's going a step in the right direction.
Amen. Well, it's always great connecting with you. You are obviously one of the all-time favorite Sox.
Yep.
And as the Sox rebuild and get more competitive and more exciting, we hope we can get you back on to talk more about baseball.
Most definitely. I appreciate you guys having me on, and hopefully it'll be a good series this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jermaine Dye.
Jermaine Dye, yes.
Yeah. This is like Christmas morning for you.
He had 44 home runs the year after the World Series. People forget about his production.
I think he's
an MVP candidate the year after.
I think I'm right about this. I think he's 44 now, 43 or 44. He could still be playing.
The way that ended, too.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, 44. Not happy with that.
44, exactly.
Sullivan Steakhouse in Naperville. I want to say hi to Matt Coover. We had a birthday dinner out there the other night for my friend Bruce Glaw and his lovely wife Gail and Kirsten, their daughter. And Matt Coover, just saying hi and thanks for the great service you'd always get over there at Sullivan's. Hey, I want to say hi to Madeline, too. Madeline, the Steve Cochran show of all the people. Madeline is our listener of the morning.
Listener of the morning.
Yeah, so there you go.
Way to go, Madeline. Thanks for coming by.
From the neighborhood here, one of the many, many people. I'm no expert on crowd size, but I'm saying we've had about 15,000 people in here this morning.
I think 20.
And
standing room only.
We've had fire marshals kicking people out all morning. It's been crazy.
It's just all fire marshals in here.
Oh, yes, it is.
Every fire marshal in the city's here.
Live from the South Side in Cork and Kerry at the park, this is our celebration of the Red Line Series on the home of the White Sox, 720 WGN.
Yeah. Today's broadcast sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company and Virtue Cider. We're at the corner of 33rd and Princeton, Cork and Kerry at the park, and Bill and Wendy about to take over.
Hey, can I just say we have a gallery at WGMRadio.com of us at Cork and the Kerry.
What about credits? Super Joe, Mary
Super
Vandeville.
Super Joe, Mary Vandeville, Bob.
Bob Ferguson.
Bob Ferguson Fergie. Back there. Doma T. Pongo, I guess, is our...
I want to thank Adam here, who has a consistent record of looking completely uninterested in me, and I appreciate his consistency. Obviously, Pete and everybody
You have that
here.
Effect on people, Steve.
I seem to. So thank you for all of that. Marlene Wells. Getting it done.
Rick. Marlene. Rick Wells.
No, and Rick Wells, too. Sure, without a doubt. Kelly Kroll is here. Kelly does great work, and this is kind of a reunion for Kelly and Andy Mazur, who TMZ linked when they were both working for the Padres.
Yes. My final illustrious year.
Kelly, you remember that at TMZ.
It was great.
So we got to talk about something serious here before we run out of time, and that's that the former Mrs. Addison Russell has come out this morning on social media taking hard shots at Addison Russell in the beginning of this Cubs-Sox weekend. Don't know if the timing is important in that regard, but talking about physical and emotional abuse, what do we know about the story?
Yeah, you're right. The timing is interesting. I'm not sure where their divorce process is at this point, but Melissa, through social media, as many of us remember, a friend stated this was going on, and then that post was quickly deleted. And as you read through this long post this morning and very emotionally draining, it is extremely hard to read. And I think that it took her, from what I read and we all read, it's taken her a long time to get the courage to put these emotions and thoughts into words. And it's very emotional. I had a hard time getting through it. I went back and read it a second time just to make sure as I head to the field here shortly. I can't imagine Addison Russell will be out there today. I think that the Cubs would likely handle it the same way they handled this the last time, and there will likely be a statement sent out by the team. And then I don't even know that Theo or Jed or anyone like that would talk about this afternoon, because it's going to open up questions, moving forward. Like, we just, in a very different way, saw how the Ohio State case played out, and I think that they're going to want to all be on the same page before they start answering questions about this. But I will tell you, from the relationship that I have with Addison Russell, which is having dealt with him in the dugout, in the clubhouse, he's always been a very respectful guy, yet very quiet, often by himself. I think he runs and walks to his own beat there. But the man she has made him out to be is a monster, truthfully, guys. And it's
really
awful. Very scary.
Yeah, Kelly, the timing we talk about, because last year around this time, she refused to cooperate with the MLB investigation that they at least wanted to start. I mean, do you think it's just because she wanted to gather her thoughts and she wasn't ready at that time to pursue this?
I do. I think that's exactly right, Andy. I mean, keep in mind how young both of them are, and I'm sure she was getting a lot of advice from different people in different corners. Here's how you should handle this. Here's how you shouldn't. And she's still trying to process these emotions inside. I mean, this is her husband. She's in love with him. And yet, you know, are you ready to go to those lengths? Are you ready to really walk away? I mean, she talks about in this article how a couple months removed from when that all happened, she came back with her child in hope that she would be a different man, in hope that this guy had changed. And so, yeah, I don't think she was ready at the time to tell anyone the truth or to tell anyone her side of the story quite yet.
Yeah, so look, we don't know what happened. We don't know the details behind closed doors. But here's what we do know. Abused women all over hearing this conversation can absolutely identify with what you're talking about. Yeah, so it's just a sad story. But
domestic abuse is a big issue for professional sports and Major League Baseball. And I would assume that an investigation would begin. Could this possibly be something that the Cubs be looking at not having Addison Russell for a playoff run?
I think that's a really great question. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know how this will play out moving forward. I mean, do they open up a second investigation? Is that how this works? But I don't really know, guys. I'm not really sure what the next moves are for MLB. I don't really know until we get to talk to the Cubs where they stand on this. But I guess everything's in play here. They could be possibly considering what it would be like not be using him on the roster for the next few weeks and into the postseason.
Let's end on a little more of an upbeat note. I know how heavily you've been involved with Laver Cup. Did Roger Federer ask about me?
He did. He was wondering where you were.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't get a minute to myself. But we want there to be a regular tour stop in Chicago, so we hope the crowds for Laver Cup are great all weekend.
I sure do, too. Those guys were absolutely fantastic. Anyone who's a tennis fan and anyone who wants to see the best of the best in any sport, they should get out to the United Center this weekend. There's no doubt about it. Those guys are going to put on one heck of a show.
Kelly Kroll, she has no life. She just runs around and covers every major sporting event, every major story. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Kelly.
This is true, guys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Andy, we'll see you on pregame at what time?
2:35.
2:35, Justin and Mary and Pete. And oh, yeah, I'm Steve. Thank you. Bill
Thank
and Wendy.
You, yeah.
Bill and Wendy right now. Do I have something I need to say?
Are we? Are, no break.
Go
okay.
Ahead.
All right.
We'll see you Monday.
Steve, we'll see you Monday. We continue.
Sucks.
Oh, we got a break.
We have a
All
break.
Right, there we go.
Back next, 720 WGN.